lead and direct in all things. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your strength. Everything that we are is because of you. I pray, Lord, we would always keep our focus on that. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Tonight is the 119th lesson on the book of Revelation. We will finish the book, Lord willing, tonight. Isn't that amazing? 119 lessons.
But you did this, you said, in a week.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 hours a night, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I taught the whole book two different times in a week. And now we took 119 lessons, which basically, if you look at it and you said, well, that's 52. If you did it once a week, you know, that's over 2 years if we spread it all the way out. But it's 1 year. We did it all in 1 year because we did, you know, several a week. So I'm going to do, I'm praying right now. I'm looking at, I can't remember now. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John or 1st, 2nd Peter or Jude or somewhere in that area is where I'm thinking we're going to go ahead and look at next one of the books. And then we'll continue to do Luke. And then we'll also possibly do a third book and maybe even a fourth book. So I may teach four books at the same time, which would be Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We'll just see. Sometimes that's hard to do, but we'll just see how it goes. I'm psyched today. I told you I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning and working on some writing and plus we're finishing Revelation. Now I'll probably do an overview, so I may take all the slides and it'd probably take two times and go through either all of them in one sitting, or I will take Sunday school this week and Sunday night. And but look at Revelation 22:13. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So if you go back to verse 13, we could look at Alpha and Omega. We could look at the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We've already done that early on. So we're going to skip that. And it says, blessed are they that do his commandments. Some get really confused about what it means to do his commandments, but it's really not that difficult. Look at the book of 1 John. And I did go over this some, but I want to repeat it here where it's necessary. In 1 John, it's really sort of the book of love. I know we talk about 1 Corinthians 13, that's the chapter on charity. But in 1 John 2, verse 3, he says, hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Now, it doesn't mean that if you break his commandments, you don't know him. It says you know that you know him when you live for him. Assurance of salvation. The reason people don't have assurance of salvation is because they don't live for God. The doubters are one of two groups, usually. Young children that get saved and later on they have doubts. Why? They weren't pulled out of the muck and the mire like I was. Like some of you. So you don't have that change as a young child. Now, that's one group. Another group that is a doubter on their salvation and they may be saved is because they don't live for Him and they doubt their salvation. You have no peace if you don't have peace with God. Peace comes through prayer. That's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. The second thing, so full assurance of salvation. Number two, you do His commandments, getting your prayers answered. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Verse 22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, what's His commandment? His commandment is to believe on Him. Now, think about that. Well, I thought it was the law. I thought it was the Ten Commandments. There is commandments. But simply put, this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. So you know the two commandments, love the Lord thy God with all that, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is what all the law and the prophets hang on. We struggle with loving God. You say, I don't struggle with that. You struggle with loving God. If you love Him, you'll do what He says. If you love me, do what I... You know, that's what Jesus said. When we fail to do what He tells us to do, we really don't love Him like we should. And then we have another thing. We have a problem loving one another. Now, loving your enemies doesn't mean you give them a carte blanche. Do whatever you want. No. It's like children. If you love your children, the greatest word that you can tell them is no. You know what the world says? Yes, yes, yes. Does everybody get a participation trophy? Yes, you know. That's just where we are today. We don't need participation trophies. We need to hear no when we're wrong. We need to hear no when what we're doing is not what God wants. We need parents saying no more often. And by the way, my throat is really scratchy. So don't scratch my throat anymore. Third one. To know that you love the children of God. You do His commandments to know that you love the children of God. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. If you don't love your fellow brethren, you're not right with God. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, why is that? Why is it that loving others is doing what Jesus said? Because the destruction that we have in Christianity is when people don't live for God. Oh, I'm a Christian. I love God. And then they're just, they say things and they do things and they write things. Man, the greatest thing I've ever seen out there is a keyboard warrior. Man, I am tough, man. When you look at society, in today's society, in our social media driven society, we are disintegrating. Everybody is powerful behind the keyboard. Everybody seems pretty hateful behind the keyboard too. You know what you ought to do? You ought to wait a day before you hit send. Wait an hour. Backspace every now and then. Delete. That's what we need, but we don't get a lot of it. Verse 3. For this is the love of God. What's the love of God? That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not very grievous. If it's the Old Testament law, that'd be pretty grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know how you overcome? By the blood, Revelation 12, you overcome by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's number three. Number four is in the book of John. Look at John chapter 14. Doing His commandments. What does that mean? Glad you asked. We've looked at three. We're going to look at the fourth one. In John chapter 14, the fourth one is the display that you love God. John 14. I don't know how much we'll read, but verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if you love God, you'll keep His commandments. If you love others, you'll keep His commandments. You'll do what He says to do. And then we could go through verse 24, but we're not going to do that. Look at chapter 15, verse 10. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You know why people don't abide in His love? Because they don't do what He says to do. We all struggle with it. It is not easy to look at the world and say, I'm going to do right because it's right. Especially if somebody does you wrong. They do you wrong and you go, man, I got to... No, step back. Step back. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, pray for your enemies. You'll heap coals of fire upon their head. Now you can't go, well, that's what I want. Then your heart's not right. You haven't forgiven if your thought is, well, I want God to judge him and smash him into the ground. God knows that. You don't fool God. So you have to have the right heart about the thing. Suffer yourselves to be defrauded. Why do you not rather take wrong, the Bible says? Listen, give God place. And pray for those that need your prayer. The greatest thing you can do in life is pray for those that have hurt you. In a relationship, marriage relationship. If husbands would pray for their wives, wives pray for their husbands, we wouldn't have the divorce rate that we have. Let's pray for your enemies. That was a joke. Thank you. All right. The next thing is number five, do His commandments. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. The fifth one is to testify of one's relationship to God. Revelation 12, verse 17. I got so many markings in my Bible. Oh, there we go. And the dragon was wroth with a woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Some say, well, they're working for their salvation. No. And I'm going to show you why that's so way off base here in a minute. Look at chapter 14, verse 9. Third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, the presence of the holy angel, the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. It testifies to your relationship. If you don't keep the commandments. Now, again, we're not talking about the law. Now, love is fulfilling the law. And we could go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. 1 John 2, 7 through 12, Galatians 5, 14. But I want you to turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, I don't want to go to all those other passages because I think Romans 13 should give you an eye-opening bit. When I saw this as I was studying and writing, it sort of blew me away. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but it says, well, you shouldn't borrow any money. You ever hear anybody say, well, you know, you ought to be debt-free? Well, good luck, because you're going to be renting a house forever. Well, Romans 13, 8, owe no man anything. See, you can't owe any man anything, so you can't have a car loan, you can't have a house loan, you can't have credit card, and by the way, you shouldn't have that one. You can do anything to get rid of your credit card debt. The other two, though, are almost necessities in life. But owe no man anything in the context has nothing to do with debt. Do you know what you owe me? You owe me obedience to God. That's what you owe me. You know what I owe you? Obedience to God. If I'm obedient to God, guess what? As a pastor, I'll be a better pastor. If you're obedient to God, you know what you'll be? You'll be a better congregant. I can't even think of what I would call you. I don't want to call you a sheep because I don't like that at all. What? Parishioner. Yeah, neighbor. We'll just use neighbor. I don't really know. But here, what?
Fellow brother.
Fellow servant. You were close. I think you were on to something, Bill. Fellow servant. You'll be a better fellow servant. So owe no man anything. Here's the context. Here's what you should owe everybody. But to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything but one thing. What? Love one another. That's what you owe me. That's what I owe you. That's what you owe them. That's what they owe you. That's what every Christian owes everybody in the world. To love one another. Now watch. The next two words is what changed everything. For this. That means because of this, for this. For can mean because. I'm going to the store, you know, for it is really close to the house. Because it's really close to the house. You know, in other words, it works. That isn't the best example, but it was off the top of my head with a sore throat. Scratchy throat. Because you love one another, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Wait a minute. Why shouldn't you commit adultery? Because you love one another. Look at the rest. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any of the commandment is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For this, that's the law right there. The Ten Commandments. You don't keep the Ten Commandments for justification. We all believe that, right? Why do you keep the Ten Commandments? And not the Ten Commandments, but the ones that are listed right here. Not the Sabbath one. You keep these commandments because you love one another. Here's why. Let's just say I go out and I steal as a pastor. Not just a Christian, but I mean as a pastor. Like all those guys on television. Sorry. What will that do to you? It's going to destroy you as a Christian. How many people have you ever heard say, I'm not going to go to church because I was hurt? I was lied about? I was abused? You know, whatever you want to call it. They have all these reasons. Some, I don't want to say justified, some legitimate, but not justifying quitting on God. But if you and I don't live for the Lord, we can destroy our fellow servant. For this, you're keeping the law and doing right listen, I'll tell you this and I'll tell you again, God bless you in spite of yourself. He blessed me in spite of myself. If I only got what I deserve, I wouldn't have such a smile on my face, because I'm telling you, today was one of the greatest days. I don't even know exactly all. I mean, it was just a combination of things. And I'm looking at it going, man, Lord, I am so blessed. But I'm blessed in spite of myself. I didn't live a perfect day. I'm sure there was a moment I thought something wrong. I don't remember. And, you know, I was going to say, you know, the only time, you know, the only thing I was wrong was when I thought I was wrong, you know. But then somebody would look at that and go, oh, well, you're conceited, you know. Yeah, right. Right, I meant it. I was serious. But you know, you got to have a sense of humor in life. So you go on, look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. What's the fulfilling of the law? Keeping the Ten Commandments? Keeping the 636 commandments, the Old Testament? 35 commandments, the Old Testament? No. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love one another. Do right for each other. The reason you should do right is because you love each other. It is not your relationship with God is sealed. By grace, He saved you. By His mercy, He saved you. Because He's long-suffering, He gave you time to get saved. After you get saved, He is gracious, He is merciful, He is long-suffering. Now, you can reap what you sow, don't get me wrong. But He is still all those things. Our relationship and our keeping and doing right is for this, not this. It's not, God's going to get me. God's going to slap me down. If that was the God we serve, we would all be flat on our backs all the time. That, to me, is a verse you need to remember. Now, look at Acts chapter 1. Man, I sure hope I get finished tonight. It's not looking great at this point, but that's fine. I just knew I was going. I knew I was going to get done. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Who? God gave commandments unto the apostles. Well, wait a minute, I thought the law was... Listen, love me, He said. That's a commandment through the Holy Ghost given by Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So Paul wrote what? Commandments. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. They receive commandments from Aristarchus. One more, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He says, we gave you commandments by the Lord Jesus. So, did Paul give commandments? Yeah. Do you get saved by the commandments that Paul gave? No. Then why do people look at the book of Revelation and go, well, they kept the commandments. Oh, it's got to be for works. Works plus faith, they'll say. That's heresy. You get saved by the blood. You get saved by Jesus dying on the cross. Whether you're in the tribulation or in the millennium or in the Old Testament, they went to paradise by trusting in God, and the blood was shed and He emptied paradise. Somebody said, well, He went and preached the gospel to those that were in prison. Well, I hate to tell you, those that were in paradise weren't in prison. He went and preached to the angels that had fallen. Now, go back to Revelation 22:15 is what the board behind me. You see the dogs that are without. There's the tree of life and the I mean the the tree of life. Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So dogs in this verse refer to people. I'm going to just give you these verses. Psalm 22:16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked, have enclosed me. So who are the dogs? The assembly of the wicked, dogs have compassed me. People are dogs. You know, if you look at Jesus, he said, you know, it's not meat to take the children's bread to cast on the dogs. I don't even have that one in there, but I just thought of it. Isaiah 56:10, watch. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. I don't know what's a dumb dog. What's a dumb dog? Anybody know what breed is a dumb dog? Come on, John, you know what a dumb dog is?
Can't bark.
Can't bark. Except when you're sleeping, then he is barking, he's a dumb dog. But some, you know, I wish I'd have thought about it, I'd have looked up what the dumb breed is, but Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Guess I better get some water. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So that's the context. He's talking about those people right there. And in verse 22 is where the dogs are. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. So he calls people dogs and pigs, basically. Ooh, boy, that's politically incorrect. Look at Deuteronomy 23. So in the context of Revelation 22, these individuals that are outside here, they're lost people who lived during the millennium. Additionally, Deuteronomy refers to whores and sodomites and defines the sodomites in verse 18. Look at Deuteronomy 23:17. This is what the Bible says. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord, so on. So look at that. That's what God says. Now, in our verse that we're looking at, it mentioned dogs and sorcerers. That describes people who use potions or spells, drugs, enchantments. It's a link with the occult, magical arts, Satanism, spiritism. You got to realize this Harry Potter craze. You know, I did a video on it, or I did two cable television shows. I forget how many minutes they are, 28 or something like that. And, you know, it's amazing what's in there. Nicholas Flamel, real guy, born in 1330. He's in the Harry Potter book. He has the elixir of life, which gives eternal life. And in the book, it says he celebrated his 665th birthday last year. And that makes last year plus one. He's 666. And if you take 1330, when this guy was actually born, 666, it's 1996. That's when she's writing the first Harry Potter book. And then he's in the Da Vinci Code book. In the Da Vinci Code book, he's in the Priory of Zion, which is the offspring of Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ. Blasphemy. And I can't remember everything about him. But I'll just tell you, look, it is amazing what they know and what's going on. You want to make $1 million or millions and millions like her with her Harry Potter books. You want to make millions of dollars? Just sell your soul. Now, did she? I don't know. But I know the impact that she's had has hurt. Now, every kid that reads it, it's not a problem. It helped kids read. Great, great, great. But those that have a propensity, let's do it this way. An alcoholic is an alcoholic because he has a propensity to become an alcoholic and he drinks. Somebody has a propensity to follow that sorcery, reads a book, and by the way, there are real spells in these books. It's just you just have to have the propensity to submit to it and say, you know, I'm gonna I saw somebody the other day, it was one of the kids, and I said, hey, he had a Harry Potter thing at a meeting I was at. And I said something, and I said, well, how about Nicholas Flamel? Oh, yeah, he's in book this. And he just started quoting it to me, and I went, oh, man. I mean, he was eating, drinking, sleeping Harry Potter. Oh, yeah. And listen, but I want to say this. Parents and grandparents come to me and they go, I gave my kids the Harry Potter books. Have I condemned their soul to hell? And the answer is no. God's merciful. He can overcome all that. Don't think that you made a mistake. It's like when I was going around and I'd have that NIV children's, and I probably haven't done it here. Maybe I did a couple years ago. The children's, it has all these rainbow colors on it. But it's the NIV. And I showed the book, like church, the thing you get dressed up for, you can be bored for an hour at morning service. That was one of the pages in the book. Witnessing, how you can get your friends to laugh at you by telling them about God. This is defined in there. And so a grandparent comes up and says, I gave my grandchildren those NIVs when I was teaching in the church as I was traveling. I said, look, it's not the end of the world. Just try to undo it. But God's merciful. God's gracious. He's, you know, kids may never even read the thing, you know. But anyway, I still got to do what I do. It says whoremongers. That's a reference to those who habitually indulge. And by the way, I'm in Revelation 22:15. Whoremongers. They habitually indulge in sexual license and depraved lust. When we look at today's society, it goes far beyond sexual license of past ages. We're run amok. Murderers, when you look at that, John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil," and it says he's a murderer from the beginning. Idolaters, those who refuse to give God the worship that belongs to Him alone, and they choose to worship another person or another thing. And then it says, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Look at Revelation 22:16. And I will finish tonight. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, and he talks about the churches. So I gave you a handout. Looks like this. And if you have a pen, you can mark it up, but it's going to be a very simple thing. I just want you to get it. Notice it says churches there. So the words church or churches occur 20 times in Revelation. 19 times before Revelation 4:1. And then this occurrence in Revelation 22:16. So across the bottom here, you see the gray. You see the gray right there. It's marked. That's all 22 chapters of Revelation. I did this for my debate at night about 4 o'clock in the morning at the Marriott Hotel with Judy sort of trying to sleep in the hotel room. I'm hooked up to the TV because I had to do PowerPoint because I was doing the debate the next day. So I did this and so each line up is Revelation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through 22. So if you look at the yellow, I'm sorry, well, let me do this first. So you see heaven open in Revelation 4:1, John's caught up. And then in Revelation 22, in Revelation 19, heaven is open and he's coming back with the army. So there's two bookends, 7 years in between them. Heaven's open, and then heaven's open again, and that's like a division, okay? And then the next thing you've got is you look at the wrath. You see it in gray there. You see where it has a W17. So in chapter 6, verse 16, 17, chapter 11, 18, 12, 12, and so on, all the way through chapter 19, 15. It has the word wrath in there. Do you see where it's inside those two bookends? All right, now let me show you what that means. The wrath is in there, right? In between those bookends. Where's the church? It's outside the bookends. It's in yellow. So where you have the church is in chapter 1, verse 4, 11, 20, chapter 3, 1, 6, 7, 13, 14, and then chapter 22, verse 16. So where you find the church, you don't find the wrath. Where you find the wrath, you don't find the church. All it does is it's just a proof on pre-tribulation rapture. Church is gone before the wrath. And we're not mentioned at any time during the wrath. We're not appointed under wrath. And again, it's just such a simple thing. It's just an Excel spreadsheet. I'm, you know, CPA, so I did that. You know, it's just what I do. And then you just got some other things. You got the elders in heaven. And then you got Israel. Notice the emphasis with the I there for Israel. The O for woman, and then the S for saints, the R for the remnant of Israel. That's the R17 in chapter 12, the R13. But it's really very simple. It's just this. Where the church is, you don't have the wrath, and where you have the wrath, you don't have the children. You don't have the church. There it is. The church is over here outside the rapture picture, the rapture in chapter 4 is 1. And then chapter 19, you have the church out there, but you got the wrath all through there. It just proves we're not going to be here. And that's just that little chart there. So, and again, it's just Bible study. I don't want anybody in here to think or say that I didn't prove to you a pre-tribulation rapture. This is just one more proof. talks about the root, the offspring, the morning star. Whosoever will, there in verse 16. The invitation offered here again appeals to all. Whosoever will, let him come. Are you a whosoever? Well, if you've come to Jesus, you're whosoever. And that's the offer in Revelation chapter 22. And notice that word freely. It's interesting, the word freely is found in this chapter. First time in the Word of God where it was changed was with Eve when she misquoted Genesis chapter 3. She included the word freely in there. Again, all things are restored by the time we get here. And then in Revelation 22, 18, it talks about adding or taking away from the Word of God. God forbid you'd be guilty of that. I would hate to be a modern version producer. 150. I've got a list of them in my One Book, One Authority. I listed every one of them through 150 years. Which one's the Word of God? God says He'll preserve His Word. We know English is going to be the world language. You know Isaiah's 66 books, chapters, which match the 66 books of our English Bible. It's the universal language. Where is the Word of God? Oh, it's in the Greek. Good luck. 5,000 different manuscripts which disagree with each other. But you could... There is two lines. You have the Byzantine text, which is the King James Bible, and you have the Alexandrian text that came from Alexandria, Egypt, which is the modern versions. And the Byzantine text came from Antioch, Antioch's where they're first called Christians. Alexandria, Egypt is never a good thing in the Bible. And that's where all the modern versions, the Sinaiticus, the Vaticanus, those Greek texts are the corrupt text. And most seminaries teach it as they are the best text. And you wonder why we're so corrupt in the churches. Because they come out of seminary and they're taught to be the authority over the Bible. I want to always put myself under the authority of the Bible. I am never to judge it. It's to judge me. It can fix me. It can change me. And it can change you. Last verse, chapter 22, verse 20. He said, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come." And to that we should all say, hallelujah. There you go. There's the book of Revelation in 119 messages. And boy, it's been a lot of work. You guys think, you know, you may not know. I mean, just doing the pictures was rough. But I also work several hours, sometimes 10 to 15 to 25 hours a week just on Revelation. Just because I'm also writing the book. So now my book is finit. Just have to do all the formatting. So pray for that endeavor. That will just take a whole lot of time. But it's something I've got to do. I'm called to do certain things, and you know, you just have to understand it. But I need your prayers on that. Because it's, you know, it takes a lot of time. I've got a guy in New York that he's a formatting expert. And when he helps me, I keep control of it. I've got a publisher. I can just give it to them and go, hey, take it. But the problem is it's not going to be exactly the way I want. And I'm particular that way about the books. So pray for that if you would. And he which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's my prayer, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. We thank you for being such a gracious, merciful, wonderful God. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed.